friends and listeners. Thank you for tuning in today. This is Red Ice Radio. I'm Henrik, and our website is redice.tv. We do live TV, radio shows, news, and much more. Today we're speaking with Janice Barcelo. She has been a guest on a number of occasions in the past. She comes from a background as a birth doula and has spoken to us about the methods by which new life comes into this world. Today we're going to talk about the detrimental effects of pornography. I'd like to give a bit of a warning and a heads up here in the beginning about the nature of the subject. It is a heavy one, and the words and the descriptions that are used in this show are definitely not child-friendly. So if you are a bit sensitive to these issues, this particular show might not be for you. So you have been warned. Janice Barcelo is an author, educator, researcher, and activist dedicated to exposing what she calls the dark side of modern medicine. In her book, Birth Trauma and the Dark Side of Modern Medicine, Janice offers a critical analysis of the technological interventions during childbirth and exposes systemic abuse of mothers and infants during hospital birth. Janice argues that medical violence is deliberate and methodical and reveals how the protocols of hospital birth mirror the techniques of trauma-based mind control. Janice has lectured extensively on the topic of human sexuality and the decades-long agenda to socially engineer humanity through the manipulation of sexual attitudes and behavior. In her DVD series entitled Human Sexuality, Pornography, and the Attack on Human Love, Janice reveals the process by which humanity's sexual mores have been steered towards the dark side, effectively undermining our ability to establish and maintain a family and blocking our ability to love. You can learn more about Janice and her work at birthofanewearth.com. Now, the previous show that we did was about Pizzagate and spirit cooking, as you might remember, and we'll connect these issues with the topic today as well, the issue of satanic ritual abuse to this latest scandal, and pedophilia and degenerate sexual behavior are all linked. This show was recorded November 11th, however, and the worst parts of Pizzagate had just started to rear its ugly head at that point. Otherwise, we would have tied it more into the discussion we're going to have here today. So, here we go. Stay tuned. Janice, welcome back. It's good to speak with you again. It was a while ago. I can't remember. Maybe, must have been over 2 years ago, I think, since we last spoke, right?
I think it might be that long. God, I've missed you. I'm so glad to be back. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's good to have you on again. And, you know, we've done a couple of good shows together. A lot of interesting things related to, of course, natural birth and everything that's related to childbearing and all these things. Of course, you've gone through many of these experiences yourself and kind of come out the other end of that. So it's a fascinating story there, by the way, if people want to go back and listen to the archives. But we are going to talk about pornography today. We're going to talk about the damages of pornography. It's a very important, you know, subject to tackle here. And Janice has done a lot of research about that. Also, of course, who is behind it and why. So we're going to get into that. But obviously, I want to talk with you a little bit first about the election. I mean, the amazing things that have been exposed this time around with everything from WikiLeaks that has done so much, thank God, so much damage. With all the exposés of the Podestas and spirit cooking and everything else, it's just been crazy. What do you think of the election?
I have never felt anything like this, Heinrich, in an election in the United States. And this is how I know that something very big is happening and something very different is happening this time around. And coming on the heels of Brexit, you know, which I think was a real surprise to the control system. The fact that Trump has now been elected president of the United States indicates to me, at least, that there is a higher spiritual force that's at work here, moving through us, of course. And I do believe that the rug is being pulled out from under them at this point. I have a lot of people screaming and yelling at me, thinking, you know, you're just playing into their game and blah, 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 blah. But my dreams, I've had dreams about Donald Trump that have indicated to me that the Creator can use him to move things toward the good, and that the Creator will be using him to move things toward the good. So I have felt compelled to register to vote for the first time in probably 20 or 25 years and to go out and cast a vote for Donald Trump. And that was my way of saying I am fed up with this control system and I am taking a stand now for its demise. Whether or not Trump can accomplish that, I don't know. I don't know if he'll come through on his promises. I certainly don't trust him 100%, but I do believe, based on the response of the Jewish community, that he is a major threat to the Jewish world order and to their plans for world domination. And it is at this time that a majority of the people in the United States felt a desire to say, no way. And then the Creator can move with us. You know, as long as we're all saying we're done with this, we're not going to allow evil to take over our country or our planet, then spiritual energies can work with us and through us. And that's what I think is going on here.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, my point has been, there's many reasons why I like Trump, to be honest. And yes, there's a clear divide within the, you know, kind of conspiracy movement, the alt media, kind of our, a little bit more of our own, you know, our old sphere before we kind of moved into the alt-right a bit more. But what I haven't been able to figure out is that why many of these people can see the reactions of the media, they can see the reactions of the establishment and the politicians, and the way that they've turned on Trump. I mean, they've tried to destroy him in every conceivable possible way. It's never, there's not been some kind of promotion of Trump here. There's not been someone going easy on him. I mean, they tried to destroy him politically, and he would probably have destroyed many other candidates, actually, but, you know, Teflon Don, he kept going, and nothing stuck to it. So it's really the as I see it, Janice, pardon the language, the fuck you vote to the establishment. And I wish that more people in the conspiracy sphere actually realized this.
The people that are so antagonistic right now to those of us that support Trump, I really feel that they're part of the problem, because what these people are basically saying is that the evil forces have all the power. The evil forces are controlling everything. They control the world. There's no way that any of us are ever going to be able to do anything to stop that. And evil is more powerful than love, then. Okay, evil is more powerful than the energy of the good. And I'm sorry, but that is not the case. That is absolutely a defeatist attitude, and that is part of the problem. You know, we have to know that we are more powerful than them. We have to know that because the energy of love is moving through us, working through us, that we can overcome this and eradicate this energy from our planet. We have to know that, and we have to do what we can to move it in that direction instead of constantly blabbing away about how powerful these evil ones are. They're not. They've been manipulating people through their occult behaviors, you know, whatever their sickness is that they do behind the scenes to try to manipulate reality, but they are not all powerful. We are much more powerful, and we need to step into it.
Yeah, this defeatist kind of attitude is, frankly, is what's gotten us in the mess. Never to try anything, never to, you know, take some of these risks and chances and, you know, see. I mean, again, we don't know, as you said. We don't know if he's going to deliver. We don't know if this was some kind of plot, but I don't think so. I mean, I've listened to probably 50, maybe even more of Donald's speeches through, you know, RSBN, Right Side Broadcasting, that televise most of them through YouTube, which is very good, so you don't have to rely on mainstream media cutting and changing things and everything else. And he did have one speech in, I forget where it was, Michigan, or maybe Milwaukee, actually, but it was about him talking about the fact that he had been an insider. He was deeply embedded into the whole system, the whole structure of the establishment, and he recognized that. He said, I was one of the biggest ones because of my, you know, money and assets and connections and all those kinds of things. But then he said, I turned against it. I decided to actually do something against the establishment due to the fact that he loves the country. And he wanted to try to improve things. And as soon as he did that, as soon as he stepped out of bounds, he became effectively an outsider. Even though he's a billionaire, he became a billionaire outsider. And I listening to his speeches, I mean, I think he's sincere. I hear and see sincerity in his eyes when he speaks and in his voice, and he's kind of little, you know, he has a big ego, which I think actually is an asset in this case. He wants to truly improve the country. He wants to show that he can pull this off, whereas other people haven't. So I think we should work with that, and I really don't care if he has an ego, to be honest.
I really don't care if he has an ego either. I'm all very, very happy. I mean, I stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning until the results came in because I was so unbelievably stressed out about the idea that Hillary could get into office and start World War III and totally destroy this country.
Yeah.
There is an interesting possibility because I am friends with Curtis Barker, and Curtis Barker, for those who don't know him, he is somebody that was involved with the Illuminati briefly, was getting groomed as a teenager to become part of their system, and has since stepped out of it and written books and exposed them. He is suggesting that there's two factions of this elite group. There's the one that is the child killing, baby raping, you know, all of these very, very sick Satanists and Luciferians who are bent on controlling the world, basically world domination. And there's another faction that really is unhappy with that plan and does not want to continue along that trajectory. And it may be that Trump is part of that group, you know, that is saying, you know, you guys are not going in the right direction and we need to take a different turn. So he may be still part of that system somehow. For all we know, he could be MKUltra. You know, we just don't know. This man is a wild card. He's a Trump card, and we really don't know how it's going to be played. But like you said, what comes out of his mouth is very interesting, to say the least. It can be very powerful. He has called them out in numerous ways. And I also do think there's moments when he is sincere. There's also times when I'm really disappointed, like already when he gave his acceptance speech and said, we have a debt of gratitude to Hillary Clinton. Really?
Right.
After you said you wanted to put her in jail? You know, why are we thinking?
Yeah, and he met with Obama, you know, the day after, and but you know, he's going through the motions, and frankly, I understand this. I mean, if he truly wants to have something done, as opposed to just kind of creating a position of antagonism immediately out the gates. I mean, I know that we're not looking for someone who's, quote, presidential, because that's gotten us into the mess we are. But what I'm saying is, if he can just go through the motions and kind of get these rituals, if you will, of transitions of power out of the way, the peaceful transition of power, and get into office and actually start working for stuff, that's what's going to be the most interesting, not whether if he sits down with Obama and says, sure, I we had a good meeting and, you know, he's a good man, blah, blah, blah. I don't think he really believes many of those things, to be honest. But he's playing ball to be able to make sure that he's going to get in position where he truly is going to be able to change America. That's what I think.
I hope so. And that's where I'm focusing my attention. I had asked everybody in my Facebook community to have a visualization that to see Putin and Trump becoming fast friends, really good friends, and to see the United States following in the lead of Russia. I just went to Russia, by the way.
Oh,
and
nice.
For people that don't know, Russia has totally banned GMOs. GMOs are not allowed in the country. Russia is giving away free land to their people, 2.5 acres per family, to anybody that wants it, really. And if they can turn it into something productive in 5 years, it becomes theirs permanently. They can't sell it. They have to pass it on to their family. So it's for their family to be held in perpetuity, because Putin wants to turn Russia into the world's largest producer of organic foods, of healthy foods. So free land is going out in the far east of Russia. Families are getting paid 500,000 rubles for every child that they have over the first child, because Putin wants to support the growth of the family.
Nice.
He knows that the Russian people took a very strong hit during the Bolshevik Revolution that there was a blatant attack against Vedic Russians, against the white race, against white Christians in particular. 66 million or more slaughtered by these very demonic forces. Okay, so he's doing everything he can to encourage them to build their culture back up, to build their society back up, and he's putting the money where it's important, giving it to the people to create strong families, big families. So these are all things that we can look to Russia for the lead, because this is a country that is most definitely moving toward the good, despite all of what is saying about them. They've been lying through their teeth.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just think about the gay propaganda towards children that they actually banned. I mean, there are some wonderful initiatives in Russia to protect, you know, children from this degeneracy and things that we unfortunately are plagued by in the West. And again, I just go back to that. Why do they hate Russia so much? You know, why do they want to turn on them? And they're doing something which is completely, you know, counter to what we're doing in the cultural Marxist run West. And that's an encouragement to me. And if Trump can be on good terms with Putin again, and many other countries too that has praised him, from Orban in Hungary to Duterte now in the Philippines, who've kind of, you know, started prior to the election speaking against America. There's many others, of course, even North Korea, King Jong-un, I guess his name is, even him are actually, you know, talking, you know, positively about Trump. So I'm really encouraged, to be honest, at all of this.
Yes, and I'm hoping people will join me in that visualization, because you know we have tremendous power. There's something called the science of images, and when we hold an image in our minds, if enough of us hold the image, it will come into form. This is why the dark forces have television, that they're constantly feeding us their image of the future Earth, their image of future societies. And we have to counteract that with our image of the future Earth. And seeing Putin and Trump becoming allies, strong allies and friends, is a very powerful image to hold.
Yeah, this will help meme magic, Janice, you know, the specialty of the alt-right. I think with the help of Keck or Pepe, you know, that Hillary Clinton mentioned in one of her speeches. Those are interesting. I mean, it's more of an esoteric issue here, but they have really, I think, made an impact on people. This visualization, these meme wars, this meme magic has actually been used in a way which I think has had a tremendous positive influence on this election, you know?
Right on. Images are very powerful. This is part of how we create reality. So, you know, we have the power to change everything that's going on here. And we just need to step into it. I'm excited. I'm excited about the possibilities. And like you, I'm really happy Trump got elected.
Yeah, definitely.
Very happy.
Very happy. Well, you mentioned something kind of about earlier here about more, you know, dark issue, weird issues such as MKUltra, you know, satanic networks, pedophiles and all this. And it's a bit, you know, more of what we've spoken about before. But what's interesting now is that this is actually catching up to mainstream culture. We had, and it's through the institutions such as WikiLeaks that this has come to the forefront. What did you think about the whole spirit cooking thing? There's another tangent to that, which is very interesting, which ties, you know, Podesta to some of these alleged, you know, pedophile rings. We know that he's kind of always been into the occult, a little bit more esoteric. There's a tie-in with, of course, Marina Abramović, or Vic, and she was the one who initiated this thing called spirit cooking. They were talking about semen and breast milk and blood and all these things. Were you surprised when this came out when this came to the surface?
You know, as somebody that's been studying this stuff for a couple of years now, no, I wasn't even in the least bit surprised. And I have no doubt that this is going on, that Clinton and Podesta and all these people are deeply involved in this kind of satanic rituals. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Kathy O'Brien, who's a survivor of mind control programming, has also spoken about Hillary Clinton as being somebody that raped her. And Hillary Clinton having a preference for young girls and getting turned on by Kathy O'Brien's mutilated vagina. They mutilated her vagina in such a way that when she moves her body in a certain way, it looks like there's a demon coming out of her vagina. And I guess Hillary Clinton was really turned on by that sight. So there can be no question that these people are completely insane, that they are completely possessed by demons, and that they're involved in some of the most horrific and disgusting activities that are imaginable. I mean, the good people of the world, it's hard for us to even fathom. Who could think of these things? Who could think of this kind of filth? You know, but this is what the Luciferians do. This is how they work. This is how they've been operating for several hundred years at least. Then this is how they try to manipulate reality, is through these occult workings. You know, take human blood and take semen and take breast milk and put all of this stuff together so that you can turn, you know, something magnificent like motherhood into this disgusting mesh of filth, satanic filth. This is how they operate.
You know, I think they truly believe also that this gives them power, and I don't doubt that through their convictions that it gives them power, that actually gives them a competitive advantage, whether it's, you know, intentional or not. I don't know about you know, if some of them are demonically possessed or not, that I can't say, but it seems that some of them behave that way. I think what we can see in their behavior kind of mimics this, right? I mean, they are anti-beauty, they're anti-life, they're anti-nature and hierarchy, really, too. These are, as I see it, an extension of liberalism, you know, or that they're the epiphany. They're the furthest out of the branch of the insanity of the liberation movement, so-called, that began many, many hundreds of years ago now. But one of the interesting things in this, too, Janice, is the Jeffrey Epstein connection, which, because he supposedly took, you know, kids to what they call Pedophile Island. I forget actually where this was. And there is, I think, a connection to Trump, and there was some speculated that, you know, he didn't bring this up for that reason or something. I don't know. He had his number in his phone book, but Bill Clinton seemed to have been a much more frequent, you know, visitor and close friend to Jeffrey Epstein. But what can you say about that aspect to it? What do you know about the Epstein connection?
Well, I know Jeffrey Epstein is a convicted pedophile, and I've heard people's stories about this place where all of these children are being held prisoners, basically. There's human trafficking that he's deeply involved in, and people come to his place to have sex with children. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton being primary attendees of his place. So this is, there's no doubt about this. There's absolutely no doubt that human trafficking is happening, that children are being sexually violated on an enormous scale. When we get into this pornography piece, all right, we're going to see, because I have many quotes from people that have been involved in Satanism and Luciferianism who are talking about the rape of children, who have been raped themselves, who are talking about the importance of sodomy, you know, in terms of trying to create alter personalities in the children. So there's no doubt that this is how they work. And you said that they're anti-life, you know, that they're anti-nature. If we understand the Luciferian rebellion against God, okay, I'm going to just talk spiritual stuff for a minute here and say, as the story goes, Lucifer was an ally to the Creator, the right-hand side of God, and then rebelled against God because he didn't want to be an underling. He felt he was as powerful as God. And he had a lot of angels that also felt the same way and that also followed in the rebellion against God. And these are the people, these bloodlines today, who are still in a rebellion against God. They speak about how they can become gods. themselves, that they can become gods by stealing the life force of children, number one, by drinking the blood of children, by eating body parts. This is how insane they are, because they've moved so far away from the Creator's design. But everything that they do is designed to attack the Creator and the natural order, this magnificent natural order that's based on family love, enduring family love, you know, and connection to the natural, to nature. They try to poison everything. They try to destroy the family through their agendas. Pornography is a big part of it. You know, moving pornography into the schools and teaching this filth to 4- and 5-year-olds now,
yeah.
Trying to get them to be transgender so that they have no chance of ever manifesting love. These kids who are transgender are totally, they're going to be doomed in terms of their ability to have healthy relationships and to create a healthy family, which is the basis for our happiness. Enduring human love is most important thing, and they attack it every chance they get it, and they attack it through the birth process. We've gone deep into this whole occult stuff about hospital birth and what they're doing there. They attack it every chance they get, because this is the principle of God's creation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an interesting point here in terms of that they're trying to squash kind of life at the root and prevent people from even coming into a position where they want a family, and there's so many facets to this, war on tradition and war on nature, from feminism to the social justice warrior phenomena, to transgenderism, to the promotion of homosexuality as a lifestyle, and then even further than that, you know, if you do have individuals that are born, you know, either with an overload of certain estrogen mimickers and chemicals, which have pushed them into a different direction. So that, for example, they might be born with male parts, but due to the development of the brain of these early, chemicals that are triggered, or the endocrine system are triggered by these chemicals, they develop a more of a female brain, right? So you develop this schism within the body. But the problem that's happening now is that, even if these are unintentional, I don't think it is, but even if it's unintentional, chemical side effects, if you will, to just our lifestyle and all the things we have in our environment now and that we put in our bodies, then they've acted on that as somehow it's the most beautiful thing ever, right? So instead of, for example, giving a male that thinks he has a female brain testosterone or male hormone to pull him into the direction of becoming more of a man, they've said, oh, fantastic, you happen to be born with male parts, but you're clearly a woman. We are going to do gender reassignment surgery on you. We're going to give you hormones for the rest of your life so that you can feel like a woman. It's an adaptation of the deviancy as the norm. And I see it as a complete mirroring, Janice. It's a flip of the things that we should do, and they walk in the opposite direction. Maybe that has something to do with that rebellion that they feel against nature and against life itself.
Yes, it's a rebellion against God, and you're talking about Luciferian reversals. That's what these are. It goes to such an extent, okay, that they take drugs that are used during childbirth, like oxytocin, synthetic oxytocin called Pitocin or Syntocin, depending on where you live, or morphine, for example, things that they give to birthing mothers. They also use these pharmaceuticals to try to engender sexual preferences. So they can get rats, for example, to become attracted to having sex with corpses by injecting them with oxytocin or morphine as a female rat walks in, and she might have the scent of a corpse sprayed on her. This is what they're doing behind the scenes to get people to become homosexual and to become attracted to things that would otherwise be absolutely repulsive to us. And they can use other drugs their pharmacological drugs to block our opioid receptors. Drugs like naloxone, okay, can be used to block a normal partner preference for a male or a female. So if you're born female, a normal partner preference would be for a male. But they can use these drugs to block that preference by blocking our opioid receptors. So they have been manipulating us. I mean, we can talk about the chemicals and all that, because I do believe the chemicals are used to make boys in particular effeminate. But in order to get these boys to actually want to have a penis put into their anus, okay, this is going to require some kind of sexual abuse in early childhood combined with what they're doing with these pharmacological drugs to create this kind of sexual preference. So there's a lot more going on, I think, than people realize to try to get people to become homosexual, to try to get them to split from their core identity of male or female and become transgender. The extent of the manipulation is extremely deep, and it's extremely dark what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that this actually links in with the aspect of war of identity, at least if you're European. I mean, I think, of course, the gay agenda, if you will, is applied to everyone in the West, whether, you know, you're European or not. But my point is, I think that the European identity has been ripped out of the from under people, from most Europeans, to get them to go into these smaller denominations, if you will, of identity politics, such as, you know, if you're gay, or if you're, you know, lesbian, or if you're, you know, even smaller than that, if you listen to this music or that music, and it's all these denominations, and we've been robbed from a basic association to family, tradition, identity, or you know, nation. And when those have been taken away, people are going to go to smaller things and look at those things, because they've really pushed the you know, homosexuality as a whole package of a lifestyle, of a behavior, of a way of life. And unfortunately, I think that younger people might be attracted to that, because it fulfills a need for identity, which has been ripped from us. But what do you think?
Well, there's a lot going on in my mind right now, because there's so much that you're speaking to. I want to first share that, again, Kurth Barker's work is very, very important, and people should go to his website and check it out, KERTHBARKER, KurthBarker.com. So being raised as part of a satanic cult, Kurth was raised to be Kathy. Whenever he was with members of the satanic cult, he had to dress as a girl, he had to act as a girl. He was called Kathy, and he was forced to sexually service the adult members of this cult while he was dressed as a girl, with them calling him Kathy. So this is standard operating procedure in these Luciferian families, for them to raise children the opposite of what they are born, because this is part of the Luciferian reversal and part of the Luciferian rebellion. So if God has designed you to be a girl, they're going to go in and do everything they can to make you something else, to make you believe that you're something else, and to get you to act accordingly. So if people want to go deeper into this, please read Kurth Barker's books, because they are incredibly eye-opening as to how these people really work.
And you did a video interview with him too, right? I actually haven't seen that yet, but I think it's available on his website, if I'm not mistaken.
I've done several interviews with him, and they are on my YouTube channel, which is Birth of a New Earth. You can watch those interviews, but I also think his books are extremely important. They are filled with very, very, very important information that needs to be told. He also talks about these two women who were part of the Luciferian cult, who were raised to be lesbians. Their parents had conditioned them to be lesbians, and their parents got divorced, and one of the parents got one of them, and the other parent got the other daughter. And then these two daughters met later in life and paired up as a couple. Okay, they had been conditioned and raised to be lesbians. They are sisters, so they're a now lesbian sister couple. And they work inside the United Nations.
Weird.
So, and he goes very deep into how very sick this couple is, because they view themselves, in their view, they have to be cannibals, because being cannibals, eating other humans, proves that they are at the top of the food chain and worthy of their Luciferian bloodline.
Really? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I've always speculated Hillary must be like eating stem cells from babies or something like that.
Well, they do this. This is not a joke. Why do you think that they're taking the baby's cord blood at birth? Do we really think that it has any other thing to do with the fact that somebody wants to use it for their satanic purposes? These people are involved in blood.
And all the abortions and what happens with all that material, you know?
They are involved in adrenalized blood drinking, which means that traumatizing the baby is very, very important to get the blood to become adrenalized, so that when they drink it, they get maximum energy from it. It gives them like a high to have adrenalized blood. And the adrenal chrome also is very addictive. So I'm not saying all Satanists are doing this, but I am saying that the people who are running our countries, many of them are involved in this kind of stuff.
Well, again, I mean, it seems to have been coming out partially, not everything, of course, but most of it through kind of mainstream channel through WikiLeaks, which is very interesting. It showed people like completely, even people who you know, weren't into this material before, they doubted all of this stuff. That door through the Podesta stuff have actually opened that world to them. I mean, what came out with the Podesta emails were kind of, you know, fairly tame, to be honest. There's much worse accusations and rumors than that. But it at least have kind of shown the mainstream what some of these weirdos are involved in. But, yeah, let's get to the main topic here, a little bit of pornography, and really get deep into that. And tell us how this has been used and implemented in society, and what the reasons are for this, and why it is so incredibly detrimental.
Well, it's kind of a process to help people understand the methods that they used. First of all, it's important for people to understand why they did this. You know, why have they mainstreamed pornography? What is their agenda around human sexuality? Okay, what are they? They're using human sexuality as a form of social engineering, right? They want us to behave like they behave. They want to normalize Luciferian expressions of sexuality. So the Luciferians are, as part of their rituals, they have orgies. They are deeply engaged in homosexual sex, bestiality, pedophilia, all kinds of horrific things happen during their rituals, and they have worked very hard to try to normalize this. All right, so there was a process that they used to try to get the people in the Western world, and especially the people in the United States, to change their morals, to change their values, to change the sexual conduct and habits of the American people, and also of people in the Western world. Germany right now is extremely debased. And it was also extremely debased right around the time that Hitler came to power. Because the Jews, really it's the Jews who are behind this. And I don't mean to offend people when I say this, but we have to know the truth about who's behind it, what their agenda is, and the fact that when we use the word Judaism, we are talking about members of a Luciferian cult and a Luciferian bloodline. So these people have been engaged in human sacrifice for several hundred years at least, and maybe several thousand years. They murder children. They poke holes in children in the in the shape of the Kabbalah and drain their blood, okay, just like they do in their kosher slaughter. They drain the blood and they use the blood for their occult rituals. They've been engaged in animal sacrifice for many, many generations. And, you know, the Jews just sacrificed 50,000 chickens in New York City in September of 2015 for their Kapero ritual. The streets of Brooklyn were running red with blood because these psychopaths think that they can wave chickens over their heads and put their evil deeds into the chickens and have a good life.
That,
and I've got pictures.
That's
of
true. Them. Yeah, I remember seeing the video. It's absolutely amazing. And there's actually a lot of different blood ritual within Judaism. People don't know that. From the Moil, which I don't know if everyone does this, but we've seen some of the pictures, of course, that when young Jewish boys, and this practice, of course, unfortunately, in American hospitals have been continued into the onto the goy as well as a kind of a marking. But I'm talking about circumcision, right? This is Moils are, some of them, they suck the blood of a baby's penis after they've cut it. It sounds absurd and absolutely, you know, ridiculous if you haven't heard about this before. But do some searches on it, and it's true. I mean, there's actually babies that have gotten blood diseases such as hepatitis C and B from some of these Moils because they are engaged in this kind of behavior. A lot of weird blood rituals in this religion.
They're also getting herpes, these babies, and they're dying. Some of them are getting brain damage, and because the Moils have herpes, and they know they have herpes, and they still put their mouths on the baby's penises and suck the blood. So, I mean, we also have, there's Jewish people that are eating foreskins. Some of these women believe that if they eat the foreskins, they'll have a baby boy, or they'll become more fertile because they eat the foreskins.
I didn't know that.
Yes, we have cannibalism in Judaism. We have blood drinking in Judaism, animal sacrifice, human sacrifice. Clearly, it's a genocidal cult. They are totally responsible for the Bolshevik Revolution that killed 66 plus million Russian Christians. They're totally responsible for the slaughter of 15 plus million German people during and after World War II. So we always hear the Luciferian reversal about how the Jews are the victims, and nothing could be further from the truth. Okay, we see what they're doing in Palestine. This is a cult. This is a Luciferian cult with an agenda to take over the world. And you can learn more about that by reading the Protocols of the Learned and Elders of Zion, or by simply going to a Google search and typing in the Jew World Order and getting information about what's really happening. When we talk about pornography, when we talk about the agenda of social engineering through human sexuality, the Jews are absolutely behind this. They totally control the pornography industry. And they've totally masterminded the path that I'm about to lay out that they took to normalize promiscuity, homosexuality, pornography, pederasty, pedophilia, sodomy, fornication, adultery. I mean, all these things used to be illegal in the United States.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
They have worked tirelessly to make the American people accept these things and to loosen the sex offender laws in America and to mainstream Luciferian morality.
Let me ask you about one of these things, too, when it started to come in, because I remember, you know, if you go back to, like, Freudian psychology and things like this, it was as a projection upon Gentile society that, you know, one of the reasons why they were so... Well, there was an exclusivity to a certain extent within American Gentile society, whether it was Protestant or you know Catholic or whatever. But it was they had their own things, right? And there was a kind of an antagonistic relationship with many other outsiders, particularly, of course, the Jewish community and these kinds of things. So what they did is they saw that Gentile society was kind of like it was sexually repressed. And for them to kind of open up the society, right, of beginning to let in, let's say, the outsider, or become more, you know, what they consider to be less hostile towards, you know, strangers and these kinds of things, they realized that they had to sexually kind of open up or crack these people. What do you know about that period in terms of an inception of some of these ideas that it was considered that it was rooted in sexuality?
Well, first of all, we need to understand that in Judaism, their Talmud says it's okay for them to have sex with three-year-olds, and that it's okay for them to put their penis in the anus of nine-year-old boys. It's in their holy books that this is okay. Freud, because the whole basis for Freud's psychology is that children want to have sex with their parents, and that children are anally obsessed. Right, this is the foundation of Freud's psychology. And Freud worked, he was a major Zionist, a major filthy, disgusting being. He worked tirelessly to try to promote these ideas about human nature. Right, the idea is that children want to have sex with their parents. Of course, this is another Luciferian reversal, because it's the Jews, who are so absolutely perverse sexually, that want to have sex with their children and as many children as they can. But we have to remember, this is a Luciferian cult, and they are stealing energy from the children. They are stealing life force from the children. These are people who believe if they drink the blood of children that they will become more youthful themselves. And also, by the way, that's being mainstreamed. Even Dr. Joseph Mercola had a link on his website about the benefits of drinking young blood. So this is really being mainstreamed right now. But getting back to Freud, he was part of this agenda to mainstream Luciferian sexuality and to get people to accept the idea of adults having sex with children by promoting the idea that children benefit from it, and that it's normal, and that they want it. Freud was all part of this. And I think you were kind of leading to the point that this was a rebellion against Christianity. You'll hear some of the pornographers talking about how pornography is, the Jews control pornography because they hate Christ.
Yeah, I've heard that.
They want to
yeah.
give a big, they want to give a big fuck you to Christian morality, which is, you know, Christian morality is horrified by these things. Most Christians would be absolutely devastated to even learn that this kind of stuff is going on. I'm talking about innocent Christians. I'm not talking about these mock Christians that control the Vatican and the Jesuit order and all that stuff. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about normal Christian people. The morality of Christian people is about family. The morality of Christian people is you don't kill your offspring through abortion. You know, but it's the Jewish morality that they needed to find a way to try to mainstream. And that includes circumcision. All right? Christian people, if you ask Christian people 100 years ago, do you think it's okay to cut off a part of your baby's penis? Of course they would have said, absolutely not. What the hell are you talking about? But somehow the Jews have been so successful in the mind control and in the manipulation of the minds of the American people and their takeover of the medical system, that they have succeeded in normalizing the sexual torture and genital mutilation of newborns. All right, no other people on the planet do this. Even the Muslims, they do not torture infants. Circumcision is a ritual that is common in places when the children are older, right, as a rite of passage. But for the Jews, this is done in infancy, before these boys have had a chance to develop proper neurological highways, proper brain development, proper bonding with their parents. Okay, this is a direct assault of a baby when that baby is coming into this dimension, and it is a form of trauma-based mind control. And they have totally mainstreamed it. I mean, we were at a point in the 1950s and 60s where over 90% of American mothers were saying yes, whether they're Jewish or not. Yes, cut off the most sensitive part of my baby's penis.
It's amazing.
Absolutely
amazing. Yeah, how do they get these women to just, you know, say yes? I guess it's the doctor authority or something like that again, but and that's remarkable that they just agree to it. But so you're saying that pornography has been weaponized or has been used as a weapon. It was invented as such, right? What is the proof here that it is? I mean, you've talked a little bit, of course, that there's roots in kind of within the Talmud that, you know, speak of these things, whatever. But if we look at the modern era and the modern world, what is it that indicates that it's mostly Jews that control the pornography industry? I think there's quite a bit of literature on this. I don't know if there's any books per se written, but I know that there's plenty of articles. But what do you know about that?
Well, I only know what I've read and what I've documented in this talk that I gave on pornography. Jews absolutely control the pornography industry. Jews control 96% of the world's media. 96%. And they absolutely dominate the pornography industry. And they will come right out and tell you that. They're very proud of this. So all you have to do is Google that, Jews control pornography, or go to my blog, go to birthofanewearth.blogspot.com and type in Jews or type in pornography or type in, I don't know if there's some other keywords, but you'll come up with a lot of information on my blog that I've documented about this. There is no doubt that they created it. You know, Hugh Hefner, of course, he's a Jew, was the first person to introduce pornography into the American consciousness. And he came out with Playboy the very same year that Alfred Kinsey's book came out about the sexual behavior of the human female. So let me get to the path that they took to do this, okay? Because the funding of Alfred Kinsey's research, quote-unquote research, was critical. This research that he did and the books that he published were used as a foundation for the promotion of pornography. Hugh Hefner, when he introduced pornography in the same year that Alfred Kinsey's book came out, was quoting Alfred Kinsey as a basis for the reason why pornography should be promoted in the United States. Now, Alfred Kinsey was the pedophile and a sadomasochist, right? This man was so insane that he actually took a toothbrush and shoved it into his urethra, and he filmed it for his pornography collection. He hung himself from his balls. He actually took a rope, and he threw a rope over a pipe on the ceiling. He stood on a chair, threw that rope over the pipe, wrapped the other end of the rope around his scrotum. One end is around his arm, and the other end is around his scrotum. And he pushed the chair out from under himself, and he hung himself by his balls. He actually died. I'm not kidding.
Jeez.
I'm not making this up.
Right.
Okay, he actually died of a disease called orchitis or something like that, which is a major infection to his testicles because of, you know, so many years of orgiastic self-abuse. He was very involved, it appears, with Aleister Crowley and with working with the demonic influences. And anybody that worked for him had to participate in orgies and a variety, sadomasochism, a variety of other things to become part of the Kinsey Institute, which still exists at the University of Indiana in the United States. These people had to participate in all of these very twisted social gatherings that the Luciferians participate in. Now, keeping in mind who this man is and what he was about, we also need to know that his research was funded by the Rockefellers. The Rockefellers actually being the Rockenfelders, they are German Jews who changed their name in order to hide the fact that they are Jews.
And that's very common throughout history. I think his one book, The Grandees, by Stephen Birmingham, that actually goes into this. And they speculate that the Rockefellers, as you say, just are Jewish. I haven't heard that Hugh Hefner was it. Of course, there's always a possibility of being, you know, crypto, or they converted at some point in their family. But one of the interesting things go ahead.
Hugh Hefner is a Jew.
I did not know that. What he did with Playboy, though, is interesting. Just, I think it was last year, I pulled up the article here now again, Playboy magazine actually stopped, publishing some of the more, featuring nude models. They said they're still going to do, like, some portrayals of beautiful women or something. That was a quote. But it's interesting because one of the reasons is that they said pornographic magazines have lost their shock value, their commercial value, and their cultural relevance, right? So he first founded the magazine, Hugh Hefner, in 1953, and it's gone from circulation from around 5.6 million in 1975 to about 800,000 today. So they just realized it was not worth it anymore. And the reason for this, of course, Janice, is that it has just been a flood of pornography with the advent of the internet. And it's just gone from bad to worse. And now, unfortunately, people grew up, young boys especially, of course, grew up utterly drowning in this filth and this degeneracy. And it's everywhere. It's just saturated the whole culture, unfortunately.
Yes, it's very, very frightening. I just read a story about a 12-year-old that repeatedly raped his 9-year-old sister because he was watching incest pornography. This is happening to young boys very often these days, who are becoming impotent before they reach the age of 18. They have erectile dysfunction because they are developing an imprinting every time they have an orgasm to one of these images on a screen. Right, the frontal lobe becomes atrophied, their whole neurological makeup is changing, and they don't have wiring for love. Like, they don't know what it means to connect with a human being. They're being conditioned to have dissociative sex so that they can't have normal relations. And this is, of course, part of the Luciferian war. I don't know if you know this, but the Jews used pornography against the Palestinian people. They at one point they went in and blew up a town and took over the TV station and started blasting pornography into the homes of the Palestinian people, who of course are very conservative people, and the children couldn't leave the house because the cities were being bombed and all that was on TV was this pornography. So it's a way that they move into degrade cultures and to attack.
That's a very important point, actually. And it shows also that it's warfare. This is like it's weaponized. It's not only propaganda. It's there to psychologically, you know, confuse you and all these kinds of issues. And I want to continue talking more about this in the second segment, as we're going to continue with Janice Barcelo. It's very interesting, and we're going to talk more also about the detrimental effects on this on boys and what happened and why it leads to, you know, all these problems. And then also, of course, if Janice has tip for people who are there's an obsession with that for some. There's like people who get addicted to it, just like any drug and things like this. And if there's any recommendations that she has to get off on that or whatever, that sounds wrong, right? Get off on it, but you know what I mean. Give us the website, Janice, again, and let people know how they can enjoy more of your work here. And do let us know if there's anything else you have, like upcoming or any plugs that you want to do here before we take a short break.
My website is birthofanewearth.com. My blog is birthofanewearth.blogspot.com, and I have a YouTube channel called Birth of a New Earth, and I've got a lot of my talks on that channel, a lot of information, just a tremendous amount of information on all of these links that I just shared with you. In terms of upcoming, I'm really wanting to focus right now on creating a community of people that are interested to break free from this sexual programming and to create life in a very conscious and sacred way. So I'm putting together a crowdfunding campaign that I think will come out over the next few weeks. I don't know exactly when, to try to build this community, to buy land and call forth people that want to create children in a very sacred way and heal themselves from the trauma of all this debased sexual activity and birth trauma and being in wombs where we're not wanted and all of these things that have happened to us as a result of the sexual programming our parents were subjected to and so many of us are still under the influence of. We have to heal, and we can heal, but the first part of that is to become aware of how they did this to us and reclaim our sovereignty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good point. That sounds interesting. Do keep us posted on that. Birth of a New Earth. We'll have the website and the blog up on our website, of course. We're going to continue with Janice. Much more to get into here. So do stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Second segment is coming right up. We'll talk to you after the break. We do. We're going to continue with the second hour at redicemembers.com. This is an independent alternative radio show that is listener supported. If you like what we do, please sign up for a membership with us. You, of course, get access to everything that we have done. You can watch our live TV shows on the weekend, other special live coverage that we do, and of course, your membership helps us to expand, bring on more reporters, correspondents, and expand our coverage even further. So thank you so much for your help and for your support. When we return, we'll go deeper into the issue of pornography and also the spirit cooking issue. Very interesting second half coming up. Don't miss it. RedIceMembers.com is the website. Some of our upcoming guests, by the way, we have Andrew Anglin from the Daily Stormer coming on, talking about the situation in Ohio with the latest Somali rampage. We also have Frank De Silva and many more coming on after this. We'll be right back after the break. Thank you so much for listening. Sign up for a membership, RedIceMembers.com. We'll talk to you on the other side.